This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen back in the saddle with Brandon Kravitz. Another great show coming your way today. We'll obviously recap the Florida Panthers taking home their second straight Stanley Cup last night. Got some big news in the NBA as it pertains to a certain star point guard for the Indiana Pacers and his status heading into Game 6 tomorrow, and a big signing by the Baltimore Ravens in the NFL. A lot to get to begin the show. Start to turn our attention toward the NBA offseason as well. Talk about some free agents who could be on the move, where we think Kevin Durant ultimately lands. Our guy Len Hochberg from rotowire.com, he's going to join us around 2:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll preview the Travelers. Pretty solid field this weekend, week after a major, an elevated event in the PGA. And we'll finish out with our best bets for a full slate in Major League Baseball. Brandon, great to be with you again, man. We got to start in hockey. Two straight for the Florida Panthers, three consecutive Stanley Cup Finals bursts, dominated Game 6 last night, put up two in the first period, another in the second, started to get the feeling that a comeback just was not going to be in the cards for Edmonton.
The Panthers are just, they're incredible. And this entire run, we'll break it down, the what they did to get to this point, and then the masterclass of being able to take care of an Oilers team that I think is the most talented team in all of hockey, but it doesn't mean that they're the best team. And shout out to our guest yesterday, Paul Bruno. I went head to head with him on the total, and I took a bath yesterday. It was not a good betting day for me. And a big part of that was taking the over, which was a goal away from hitting, but unfortunately did not. And then I got caught up in the emotion of it, wound up taking Edmonton on the money line at plus 140 before they dropped the puck in that one, took the L on that as well. But shout out to the Panthers, a deserving team. And I can tell you, as a state of Florida resident, there is not a franchise more deserving of a championship and a state less deserving of another hockey championship than the one that I reside in right now. And hopefully they don't kick me out of the state for saying that. But Nick, this is not a hockey state. And all we do here is win championships in the NHL.
I think the state of Minnesota, especially, which has just been starved since what the Twins won in the early 90s. I want to say that was, like right around the time I was born. I don't really have a great memory of the Twins winning those World Series, but yeah, I think for the state of Florida to keep this up with Tampa Bay, and now, of course, with the Florida Panthers, a team that is already installed, Brandon, as the favorite to win the Stanley Cup again next year. That would, of course, be three in a row. We should mention, probably, that Sam Reinhardt had four goals last night, became just the sixth player in NHL history to accomplish that in a Stanley Cup game, first since 1957. Sam Bennett ended up taking home the Conn Smythe. We've been tracking those odds pretty closely over the last couple of weeks. Saw a lot of tickets on Twitter, people cashing those, VSiN viewers who were cashing tickets at 22, 25 to 1. You know, some people bought in after game one in that 12 to 15 to 1 range. So congrats to everybody who won on Sam Bennett. You know, the voting actually ended up being pretty close, Brandon. I was taking a look at that this morning. Sam Bennett got 76 points, excuse me, overall. They do the first, second, and third place voting system. He had the most first place votes. Brad Marchand wasn't far behind, 68 points.
And I think Sergei Bobrovsky had something to say in that mix as well. I know that there were a lot of goals scored in this game, but especially in the last couple, just an absolute wall in front of that net. And when you really think about what they were able to do, just an absolute strangle on the Oilers offensively. Bobrovsky, as I mentioned, was masterful along with everybody else. But for Connor McDavid to be held to one goal in this series speaks volumes to how well the Panthers played. They broke the record for most time led in a final series, over 255 minutes they led in this series. Absolutely incredible. And this is we're talking about the same franchise that won a year ago in the exact same building they won in a year ago. They make the aggressive move to add Brad Marchand. You know, he's close to Conn Smythe in terms of voting. Seth Jones, they add at the deadline as well. Bill Zito, the GM, if this guy calls you, just stop answering the phone. When this guy calls, it is not working out for the other side. It's just top to bottom. I just cannot give enough flowers and enough credit to this organization.
Well, congrats early in order to the Florida Panthers organization, to the state of Florida, I guess the hockey state now, Brandon. I think we might have to rename that. I want to switch over to the NBA here. Make sure we give some time to some big news developing ahead of game 6 tomorrow night. First of all, OKC, massive favorites to win this series. Obviously, they just have to take one of the next two. Minus 1,800 is the number right now at DraftKings. If you have any faith in the Pacers, you can get them at 10-1. We saw some notable movement in that game 6 line. It was sitting at 5, 5.5 yesterday, depending on where you look. Up now to 6.5 at DraftKings. 66% of the money, by the way, coming in on the Thunder to cover the 6.5 at DraftKings. Those via our excellent betting splits over at VSiN.com. The reason for this, Brandon, is we have news on Tyrese Haliburton going for the dreaded MRI on his calf. Rick Carlisle, you know, said that tomorrow's walkthrough essentially will determine whether or not Tyrese Haliburton is out there at all in game 6. Haliburton himself said earlier today that if this was the regular season, he would likely be missing multiple weeks. Rick Carlisle was on local radio this morning. He said that the Pacers are preparing as though Tyrese Haliburton will not be available for this game. Could, of course, be gamesmanship from Rick Carlisle, but it's starting to feel like if Tyrese Haliburton is out there, Brandon, at the very least, he's going to be pretty compromised.
Yeah, and I think I worry more about him playing and playing poorly than not playing at all. It does put him in a tough position because players want to go out there and compete, especially when they get to this stage. If this was game 41 of the regular season, we would not be having this discussion, but the Pacers need him. They might be able to get by with TJ McConnell starting and a rah-rah effort, and I'm sure Rick Carlisle would have something up his sleeve, but this team is a minus 3.3 net rating without Haliburton on the court throughout this season. In late game situations, he's the guy that they look towards when they need a big bucket. You're just missing too much with him off the court in this matchup. So I didn't really like the Pacers in this spot anyway, because it does feel like OKC has figured themselves out defensively. They're playing much more their brand of basketball. When they do that, this is a really tough team to beat, no matter who you have on your side of the court. Mm-hmm. But with Haliburton compromised, I don't know how you could look any other way but the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I'm with you on that, man. It's still amazing to me that game 5 was as close and competitive as it was, even with Tyrese Haliburton giving the Pacers virtually nothing on the offensive end. You know, did not have a made field goal, and yet there were multiple times where I felt like, yeah, Indiana might storm back and win this yet again. So I don't think the Pacers are totally out of this, but going to be an uphill battle, to say the least, especially if Tyrese Haliburton cannot play at all. How does this news impact how you're looking to bet game 6, especially in terms of the prop market, Brandon? Maybe it pushes you toward OKC on the side, but do you consider going under on what's ultimately a very low points prop for Tyrese Haliburton sitting at 13.5 right now at DraftKings? Does it push you to invest in someone like TJ McConnell or Ben Mathurin or anybody else for Indiana?
I think looking the way of Pascal Siakam is probably the smartest way to look. And some of that is just the fact that he's played so well in this series. So rather than getting overly cute with how this team is going to look without Haliburton, just lean into what has worked for the Indiana Pacers, and that's Pascal Siakam. The TJ McConnell thing worries me a little bit because I feel like part of his value is coming off of the bench and playing that spark plug role. If he has to start, you're asking for more responsibility. You're also putting him up against the best defensive players in that Thunder backcourt. So I hesitate on that one a little bit. We'll see what happens with the number as we get closer. I think betting Tyrese Haliburton unders is not a bad way to look right now, because there is a chance that he plays. And if he does, we're probably talking about somebody who's compromised. If you look the way of his assist, that total sitting at 7.5, he's gone under in 4 of the last 5 games in this series, 9 of his last 15. The Thunder defense has looked a whole lot better. You know, they're disrupting those passing lanes. And if he's not 100%, even more of a reason to look away from Tyrese Haliburton. Of course, those bets might not end up holding, because if he doesn't play, then they'll be voided. But I think I would like to at least have that my money in that market ahead of game 6.
Yeah, Ben Mathurin, his points prop up to 10.5 for game 6, was at 8.5 for game 5. McConnell looking at the same number. And we talked yesterday, Brandon, about that just one made three prop for TJ McConnell, which I believe he's hit 4 times in this series. It was plus 280 yesterday, now down to plus 175 at DraftKings. So seeing plenty of movement in those Pacers markets. Folks, are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use. We're talking rankings, projections, updates, data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. You can get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15 at checkout. That code ROTO15, ROTO15, will get you 15% off any of our subscription products over at RotoWire. All right, Brandon, we got about a minute left before we turn our attention to the NBA offseason. Some big news on the defensive side for the Baltimore Ravens, bringing in Jair Alexander, signing a one-year, $6 million deal earlier this morning.
And the Ravens need it. Last year, it was not their typical year of creating havoc turnover-wise. They were just plus six in turnover margin, which is not Ravens style of football. And in a division where you're going to go up against Joe Burrow twice a year, you better have a secondary that's dangerous. They have that now. I think they probably end up getting the best out of Jair Alexander just because it's the Ravens and this is the way that they work. Also, Lamar Jackson and Jair Alexander, teammates in college. So already some built-in chemistry just in terms of the team aspect of it.
If Jair Alexander stays healthy, I love this move. I mean, you're looking at Jair, Marlon Humphrey, Malachi Starks, Kyle Hamilton, Nate Wiggins. That is one of the most dangerous secondaries in the NFL on paper. Obviously, Ravens pass defense struggled through much of last season. Bottom line here is like every fan wants their team to operate like the Ravens. Good players out there, hey, let's go get them. Let's bring in Jair Alexander. We got to take our first break. We're going to turn our attention to the NBA offseason when we come back here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network. Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz here with you. Brandon, the NBA season is not quite wrapped up. It could be over tomorrow night, depending on what happens in Indianapolis, but never too early to start turning our attention toward the offseason. Shortly after the finals wrap up, we got the NBA draft coming our way next week, free agency the following week, and of course, I've been tracking the Kevin Durant situation very, very closely. If you've been looking at the KD next team odds at the DraftKings Sportsbook, you will notice that these seem to change by the day, sometimes by the hour. The way I want to look at this, Brandon, you know, we've talked about the Rockets and the Spurs and the Heat, the three teams that Kevin Durant has openly stated I would like to play for these franchises, but it's not a guarantee. Not a guarantee that he will be able to dictate where he goes, especially, you know, given the constraints on the Suns side of things. One team that we are told Kevin Durant does not want to go to is the New York Knicks, or at least I should rephrase that. The Knicks are saying they don't want Kevin Durant, and this seems to stem from a rift between James Dolan and Kevin Durant's camp that dates back like 5 or 6 years, you know, one of those years that Durant was a free agent and said something to the effect that, yeah, the Knicks aren't that appealing of a destination to me right now. And what we know about James Dolan, Brandon, is that he tends to hold grudges. The question is, are the Knicks wrong for apparently not being interested in acquiring the services of Kevin Durant?
Well, first of all, I question both of their judgments because Kevin Durant said that and then went to the Nets. So let's also question the source here. But yes, they are wrong. And mostly because I think we know that their reasoning is not basketball related. And when petulant owners are the ones making business decisions, it rarely goes well in sports. I think KD gives them exactly what they need, an absolute demon in the playoffs that can help elevate the scoring load from Jalen Brunson. This team got caught standing around watching Brunson in ISO situations far too often. KD would stress the defense more than Cat does. And I just think intangibly more than anything else, he's a better player than Towns just based on demeanor, attitude, competitiveness, and all of those things that separate the good players from the great ones come playoff time. This is just immature nonsense, in my opinion. They should absolutely want Kevin Durant.
So in the event that they were to change their mind, do you think Karl Anthony Towns is the guy that they would part ways with? Because there would be multiple options here, right? I mean, you need to match salary to some degree. So Ananobi could work. Mikal Bridges could work. Obviously, they're not going to trade Jalen Brunson. But you think essentially the one-for-one Cat for Durant is the smoothest path for New York in this hypothetical?
I think that's the best way to go because they would still be up against it cap-wise. This is a team that really struggled with depth, so giving away two players in order to get one, no matter who that one is, I think puts the Knicks in a bit of a bind. And then you also have to take into account that what the Knicks put together did work to a degree. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They put together their wing stop in Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby in order to contend with the Boston Celtics. They did that successfully. I don't think they should deviate too much from that just because they went up against a red hot Pacers team.
Did have an interesting report, by the way, this morning from Evan Sidery, who covers the NBA for Forbes, who said that the Memphis Grizzlies may be throwing their hat in the ring for Kevin Durant. If you look over at DraftKings right now, Memphis 20-1 to acquire Kevin Durant. Not necessarily the type of destination you would expect KD to put on his list, Brandon, but could the Grizzlies make some noise here?
I mean, it would make sense. They just got all the Magic's draft picks, so they've got the ammo to get this done. You put him with Ja and Jaren Jackson Jr., and all of a sudden, the Memphis Grizzlies look like a contender in the West again. I think it does make some sense. And Kevin Durant, he's imperfect in the way that he approaches things, and I think there's a lot to be said about the way that he's moved about the NBA over the course of his career and some of the spats he gets on. Onto with his Twitter account and all of that stuff, but he is an adult, and I think the Memphis Grizzlies need an adult in the room after Desmond Bain found his way to my humble abode in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, I do wonder if the Grizzlies have the firepower, unless you're putting Ja or Jaren Jackson in that trade. Like, where's the salary match coming? Where are the appealing young players in theory, or even, you know, high level veterans that the Suns would want to remain as competitive as they can? And it's not often you can say this, Brandon, but I don't know that the Orlando Magic future draft picks are going to be all that valuable, you know, over the next 3 or 4 years with how competitive that team should be. All right, let's move on. I want to talk some San Antonio Spurs, Brandon. Should the Spurs be willing to put the number 2 overall pick in this year's draft on the table in a deal to acquire Giannis Antetokounmpo? We know the Spurs are at least peripherally involved in the Durant discussions, but the reporting has been, we don't love the offer if you're Phoenix, and you know the Spurs might have their sights set on a bigger fish, and of course that fish would be Giannis.
Yeah, they should absolutely look into this. They should take the deal if it's offered to them. Do it immediately. There is no guarantee that Dylan Harper or Ace Bailey is going to turn into anything of substance. Giannis is still 30 years old. He's playing at an MVP level. I don't know who would stop the combination of Giannis and Wemby. And then I really started dreaming about this scenario, and I started looking at what their projected starting lineup would be. De'Aaron Fox, Steph Castle, Devin Vassell, Giannis, and Victor Wembanyama. That's as good as it gets in the NBA. So if they can make that happen, they should. They're in a good spot where they really can't lose, but this to me would be the biggest win.
This is a classic. Like, look, if you want to land an ultra elite player, if you want one of the 3 best players in the NBA, you don't get to dictate the terms, right? You're giving up the number 2 pick in the draft. Like, that's a non-starter, and you're giving up a lot more than that as well. So that is my very brief take on that. I don't even think this is a question. I think that has to be involved in the trade if you are San Antonio. Let's talk some Cooper Flagg, Brandon. At this point, there's really no merit in betting who will go number 1 in the NBA draft, since it's very, very clear that Dallas will be taking Cooper Flagg. The odds certainly reflect that at DK. Mavericks right now, 22-1 to win the West, 40-1 to win the NBA championship. Not a whole lot of interest in either of those from me. We don't have win totals yet for next season. Those will be coming months from now, but our producer, Michael Cohen, has thrown us the question, will Cooper Flagg help the Mavericks win over 40 games next season? Keep in mind, of course, Kyrie Irving out until, I would guess, at least January.
I think Anthony Davis can help them win 40 games. I don't know if Cooper Flagg is necessarily going to do that. Last year, they won a very disjointed 39 games. And as you mentioned, they should get Kyrie back prior to the All-Star break. That's the way that things are tracking right now. They're still going to have one of the best rim-protecting teams in the NBA. So they're still live to win some games before even getting their full allotment of talent back. Gafford, Lively, Anthony Davis, that's a formidable group in the front court. And then Cooper Flagg should be pretty good from day one. So even if he's okay, their roster is still really good. I think it's going to be close, but I would lean more towards the over at 40 than the under. This is a team that, by the way, when Kyrie Irving comes back, if everything rounds into form, I'm going to want a little nibble of them to win the Western Conference.
Well, again, you can get that 22-1 right now at DraftKings. Speaking of the West and spinning this forward, Brandon, obviously the Oklahoma City Thunder have not been crowned NBA champions yet. I want to be clear. We expect that to be the case at some point over the next few days. But looking ahead to next season, whether the Thunder blow this series or not, they will be the favorites to come out of the West once again. Right now, plus 135 at DraftKings. To you, right now, not knowing what's going to happen trade-wise, free agency-wise, you could do some forecasting if you want. Who is the biggest threat to OKC next season in the West?
Okay, I'm gonna break this down in three different scenarios here. The San Antonio Spurs, if they get Giannis, are absolutely the answer to this question. The Timberwolves, if they get Kevin Durant, would then rise to the top, and this is without the Spurs getting Giannis. And now let's assume that all this madness that we are projecting in the NBA offseason, that none of it happens, which is also very possible. I think it's the Denver Nuggets. They still have Nikola Jokic. This is still a respectable organization that has put solid role pieces around the best player in the world. And this is the team that now in hindsight gave OKC the biggest test in the playoffs. So Nuggets, if nothing happens, T-Wolves, if they get Durant, and then the Spurs, if they end up getting Giannis.
Yeah, I think the way you laid it out is perfect. This is not a market that I would necessarily bet right now. You know, I think we're kind of splitting the difference when you look at some of these numbers. Like the Spurs, as currently constructed, to me, should not be 11-1 to win the West, but that number is going to jump if they were to acquire Giannis, or even if they do decide that maybe Durant is the more reasonable target. I wouldn't bet Houston right now at plus 750. The Lakers at 11-1. I can't quite get there. This team needs to find a center. I think they'll do that. I don't know if it's going to be enough of a needle mover for me where I say, you know, they could be the second best team in the West. I think you're spot on with Denver. I think if we were forced to bet this right now, again, not knowing what's going to happen over the next month, Denver is the team that I would say, I just feel like there's the highest floor because they have Nikola Jokic and should bring back essentially that same core. Warriors, by the way, 14-1. The Clippers, 25-1. Memphis, 60-1. Memphis does get interesting, of course, if they were to pull the trigger on Kevin Durant. But yeah, again, this is a market that I would likely wait on before firing. We got a big tournament coming up in the PGA starting tomorrow. The Travelers, Len Hochberg, our golf expert from rotowire.com. He's going to join us next to break it all down. Get some DFS plays. We'll get some betting picks from him. Len Hochberg coming up next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Prop Points rolls along here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz in the chairs with you today. Got the Travelers Championship starting up tomorrow out in Connecticut. And our friend Len Hochberg, our golf betting expert over at rotowire.com, joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. You can check him out on Twitter at Len Hochberg. You can, of course, follow all of his work and his wonderful weekly previews over at rotowire.com. Len, welcome back to the show, man. Good to have you. We got to start at the top of the board, as we typically do. Scottie Scheffler, part of a pretty loaded field. It is an elevated event this week. Unsurprisingly, he is the heavy favorite at plus 280. Whether we're talking betting Scottie Scheffler, whether we're looking at him in DFS, it's kind of the same equation. Is he worth paying up for this week?
Yeah, and it's always a two-sided coin for me, Nick. Great to be with you. You know, at 13,300, I think he's very manageable to get in a DraftKings lineup. He's only 3-1 odds, though. You have to ask yourself, you know, that's really for every one of us to make. Is that, are those odds too short to really, you know, plunk down whatever we're going to plunk down for that? So I always like him in DFS in this situation, because especially in a signature event, only 72 guys. You can go way down into the 6,000s. There's no cut. So you don't have to worry about that. So you're going to get six guys through the weekend, even with Scottie Scheffler.
Amazing to think that it's our last signature event of the year. It's only June, mid-June at this point. But we should be getting back to seeing birdies again. I know those were hard to come by at the U.S. Open. The fairways quite wide at the TPC Riverlands. How important is wedge play on a course like this, and who would that benefit the most?
Yeah, it is a whole different scenario, Brandon, from last week. I mean, it's just night and day. We should see the winning score north of 20 under, not too far north of 20 under. It's sort of the baby birdie fest, not a 26, 28 under most conditions. But yeah, and the greens are small, so you will have to, you know, wedge play, especially from the fairway. The course being so short, only 6,800 yards, we're going to see a lot of play from like 125, 150 yards. And, you know, I mean, of course, it's going to benefit Scottie Scheffler. You know, that's sort of the answer to every question. I sort of like Justin Thomas. I do like Justin Thomas this week as well. I think a lot of people might be off of Justin Thomas because he had another bad week and he missed the cut at the U.S. Open, another bad major. But he's done his best work this year on shorter courses because his big problem has been getting the ball in the fairway. He'll be able to club down, keep driver in the bag. I think he'll be in the fairway, and then he's really, really good with his wedge and even his putter this year.
JT 30-1 to win the tournament at DraftKings plus 450. If you like him for a T5, anybody else near the top of the board catching your interest, Len? Rory at 12-1, Xander 16-1, Morikawa 18-1.
Yeah, those guys, I'm staying away from all of those guys. Rory's been in, was well documented, really been in a funk. I think it's temporary. I think we'll see him, certainly by Royal Portrush in 4 weeks, if not the Scottish Open the week before. And Xander and Colin Morikawa, I mean, they're both really good players for 95% of the tour, but they really haven't been good for what we expect from them. And at their price, dip down to 22-1 to Patrick Cantlay, who also has not been great and missed the cut last week, but he just absolutely loves TPC River Highlands. He came here as an amateur 14 years ago and shot a 60. He's finished top 15 7 years in a row. He's had some better finishes in there as well. I would, you know, after Scheffler, skip over those next few guys and get to Cantlay and then to Thomas.
Len, I'm curious your approach on this angle. Looking at players who played in the U.S. Open, who played horribly, didn't make the cut, but who then were able to lock in for this one and didn't have to deal with the frustrating weekend and all of those conditions and the roughs and everything that I'm sure sent these guys into a mental tailspin out there at Oakmont. Is there anything to that? Is looking at players that missed the cut in the U.S. Open that could set themselves up for a good tournament here?
I think so. I think so, Brandon. I think this is a busy time of year, and it's about to become an unbusy time of year for a lot of these guys after this week. We may only see them like one or two more times over the next 5 or 6 weeks. So they've been, you know, since the PGA, there was another signature event after the PGA and then the Memorial and then the U.S. Open. This has been a grind. So even missing the cut and missing the cut at Oakmont does not really impact my planning and my thinking for a completely different course at TPC River Highlands. But I think there is an edge in that these guys will have a little bit of a break physically and, as you said, mentally. Absolutely.
Talking with Len Hochberg, our golf expert over at rotowire.com. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Len, what about the complete other end of the spectrum? Somebody who played very well at the U.S. Open, won it, in fact. What do we do with J.J. Spaun? He's 50-1 to win the Travelers. Do you have any interest in him? Like, do we have to start taking him more seriously as a week-to-week contender, I should say? And, you know, overall, whether we're talking about Spaun or some other players that we've seen win tournaments, do you tend to target or fade a golfer coming off of a big win?
It depends on the golfer. And J.J. Spaun really has had a very good year. He's had a number of high finishes. He went to a playoff with Rory McIlroy at the Players' Championship and admitted afterward, or just recently last week, he said he was so nervous that week. And I think that really helped him a lot on Sunday because he really kept his composure after that horrific start. You know, some guys after a big win, if it's Scheffler, if it's McIlroy, it's just another week. I think J.J. Spaun, I'm gonna sidestep him this week. I don't think he's finished answering text messages from millions of people he hasn't seen since third grade. You know, the one interesting thing about J.J. Spawn, the one thing I think that's really going to help him this week, they paired him with Scottie Scheffler for the first two rounds. There are only twosomes, only 72 guys. And I think that's going to inspire him to play well, that even though he's the U.S. Open Championship champion, he does not want to get boat raced by Scottie Scheffler. So that was a little bit of an edge for him to get his feet back on the ground right away. I don't want to look like, really poorly next to Scottie Scheffler. But overall, I'm going to pass on J.J. Spawn this week. But he is an excellent, excellent player this year.
You know, we all love picking that outright winner, but I feel like one of the more consistent ways to make money over time betting golf is to bet matchups. Is there one or two out there that you've looked at that you've bet into already, or one that you're thinking about taking a stab at before we tee off tomorrow?
Yeah, I looked at a bunch of them right before coming on, Brandon, and one that I do like, and it's interestingly, it involves both guys I like this week and talked about them just a moment ago, Patrick Cantlay and Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas is plus odds at plus 130, and Cantlay's minus 150. And while I certainly could see it going the other way, the fact that you get plus odds with Justin Thomas, hey, he was fifth here last year and ninth the year before, and I do like him for all the reasons I mentioned earlier. So even though I like Cantlay, with those odds, I think Thomas is the proper play.
All right, Len, we'll leave you on this. Give us one or two long shots who you're targeting this week. Could be somebody to win the tournament, could be a T5, a T10.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say T5 or T10 because there's really no market for T20s this week. The longest T20 is like 8-1 from Nick Dunlap, yeah, who has just been horrible, and nothing out. So you really have to stick to the fives and the tens in the smaller field. Brian Harman, I don't understand. He plays this tournament every year. Before it was a signature event, it used to be a very big field up around 150 or whatever it was. He's finished top 10 4 years in a row, 7 years of the last 10 top 10s. It's a short course. It's perfect for him, more of a target golf. He's 80-1 to win, and he's still plus 450 on a top 10. I just don't understand how he's in the same boat with Wyndham Clark and Ricky Fowler, exact same odds to outright and on top 10s. And he has such an incredible course history here. It doesn't seem that they take course history into account in these odds. And, that's a question for another day, but it was just something that struck me. But Brian Harman has really excelled here.
Len, excellent stuff as always, man. I know we could check out your full preview over at rotowire.com. We'll give you a follow at Len Hochberg on Twitter. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, guys.
Len Hochberg, everybody, over at RotoWire. Want to make smarter football bets this season? Start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, you can grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access now through the Super Bowl. That includes the NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You'll also get a daily best bets email from experts and hosts, real-time betting splits from DK and Circa, live and on-demand shows on the VSiN Watch app, and deep analytics over on VSiN.com. Don't miss this deal. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock it in. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You get that for just $175. Best bets for tonight's baseball slate coming up next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz here with you. It's Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network. One last segment bringing you home. Coming up next, of course, is Make It Rain with Adam Schein. That comes your way at 3 p.m. Eastern. Greg Peterson stopping by the show. Greg from VSiN.com to give his best bets in Major League Baseball. We're going to be doing the same here, Brandon, to wrap things up. We do have some news, by the way, in the WNBA. We had a couple scraps, really, in the Fever Sun game last night. Marina Mabry, who ended up shoving Caitlin Clark to the ground, was not issued a flagrant two at the time. That foul has been upgraded to a flagrant two. Sophie Cunningham also fined for her hard foul late in the game. Neither player will be suspended. Not often, Brandon, though. We got some WNBA breaking news, but we're running out of NBA games. So we're going to be talking a lot more WNBA on prop points throughout the summer. Let's take a look at the Wednesday Major League Baseball slate. Normally, we'd have some day games going on, Brandon, just one game in the afternoon window out in Seattle. That's Red Sox, Mariners, Crochet, and Luis Castillo on the mound. We'll talk about that one in a little bit. But I know you got a handful of plays that you want to hand out, and we will start with the Guardians and the Giants. Of course, saw the debut of Rafael Devers in a Giants uniform last night. Tonight, we get Logan Allen going up against Justin Verlander. Verlander pitching for the first time in a month. He comes off the IL. You're looking at the total here, which sits at 7.5.
Yeah, and if you can still get it there, I think you should absolutely grab the over. Bad pitching matchup for both sides here. Logan Allen for the Guardians has really struggled since coming into the league in 2020. This year especially ranks in the bottom quarter of the league in ERA and strikeout rate. On the other side, you have Justin Verlander, who's making his return from a pec injury at the ripe old age of 42. Don't love that. And prior to the injury, he wasn't very good either. So love the way that the Giants bats are looking right now. Devers has already fit right into that lineup, hit a double yesterday. That ballpark is already paying dividends. So let's get a run fest in the Bay Area tonight.
Okay, there we have it. I know you're looking at the Rockies Nationals series, which is ongoing. Rockies have won two in a row. Their manager said last night, "Do not let us get hot." I don't know if that's possible for the 2025 Colorado Rockies, but they have, at least by their standards, somewhat turned things around over these last couple of weeks, putting together some competitive series. I know this is another one where you have your eye on the total, sitting at 9.5 right now over at DK. Washington, a -163 favorite on the money line.
I just look forward to the look on my wife's face tonight when I fire up the MLB app and throw Rockies Nationals on the big screen TV. I look forward to that moment. I'm going to go over 9.5 at +100. Weather is heating up, so I have to retrain myself. I love betting Major League Baseball unders, but I'm going to start looking towards some overs. We're getting hotter temps that tends to carry the ball a little bit further. 94 degrees is the feels like temp in the nation's capital. Wind should also be on our side, blowing towards outfield. In the outfield wall in this one. So outside of the meteorology of this one, the pitchers are due for a blow-up game. Marquez and Parker, nothing to write home about. Just last night, we saw 16 runs between these two teams, but 16 runners left on base. So we actually still have some more meat left on the bone. Both of these teams rank bottom five defensively as well. And how about those Rockies? Last three games, the Rockies lead the majors in runs scored per game. Give me the over.
All right, I got a play on a total that I want to get off here as well, Brandon. I'm looking at the Royals and the Rangers. This one in Texas, total sitting at 8. We're taking the under. We're taking the under at -106. I do not trust either of these offenses. Royals have been down in that regard throughout the season. Texas has heated up a little bit on and off over the last couple of weeks, but still one of the more disappointing offensive teams in baseball. Patrick Corbin on the hill tonight has been sneaky decent this season by Patrick Corbin standards, really just avoiding the true blow-up starts. And on the other side, Chris Bubich, one of these stories of the season on the pitching side of things, a sub-2 ERA for this Royals team. He is coming off of really his first batting outing in the season last time out, but that came against the Yankees. We'll forgive him for that. Prior to that, had allowed 3 earned runs over his previous 6 starts. We're talking almost 40 innings worth of work for Chris Bubich. So give me the under 8 in Royals Rangers. I know you got a player prop, Brandon, in the Diamondbacks Blue Jays game.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, you were on the under for that one yesterday too, right?
I sure was. We're running it back.
All right. Okay, yeah. I mean, why not? Let's see if we can cash in again. I'm going to go Ketel Marte over 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI. You have to be in a very special category for me to bet the over on 2.5. We're also getting this at plus money at +110. Not only is Marte one of the best hitters in baseball, but he is hot. And the matchup rating tonight is one of the best on the slate. He's gone over 2.5 in 9 of his last 14, 16 hits alone in the month of June, and he's batting .412 while slugging .824 against Eric Lauer of the Blue Jays in 17 plate appearances. A lot to like tonight for the Diamondbacks star, so let's fire it up.
Pirates taking on the Tigers in Detroit. We got Andrew Heaney taking the mound for Pittsburgh, Tarik Skubal for the Detroit Tigers. As you may have heard, Brandon, Tarik Skubal, very good pitcher, having a very nice year. You're looking at the under here. Is this as simple as Tarik Skubal is going to shut down one of the worst offenses in baseball?
Yeah, I mean, Nick, come on. Sometimes this isn't rocket science, what we're doing over here.
Yeah.
Skubal unders feed families, okay? And my family needs to eat. He's allowed one run or less in each of his last four starts. He's the odds-on favorite to win the Cy Young in the American League for a reason. He hasn't struck out fewer than six since April 20th. This guy is automatic, and you get the Pirates, who can't score runs to save their lives. Now, the over did hit yesterday, okay? So this was one of my underplays on yesterday's show that did not go my way because the Tigers went ahead and scored seven on their own. We have to have a short memory in this business. Andrew Heaney on the bump, as you mentioned, 3.33 ERA. Don't hate that. Plus, Pirates road games have gone under the total in 23 of 36. You should actually like the fact that this game and this matchup went over yesterday. To me, that just tilts even heavier towards the under.
Yeah, I'm looking at that total in Padres-Dodgers late tonight. Steven Kolek going up against Emmett Sheehan, making his first appearance in basically 2 years. Sitting at 9.5. We saw these two teams combine for 14 last night. Would you look at an over 9.5 there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially with the way that these two lineups can get after it. I think the one thing that you have to worry about is the Padres defensively the best team in baseball in that regard. And so their unders over the course of the season have been pretty hot. Mm-hmm. But I think anytime you get these two teams on the diamond together, fireworks should be expected. So I've got no problem with that whatsoever. And again, I'll go back to me, when it comes to baseball totals, because that's where I spend most of my time when I'm betting baseball, through the early portions of the season, I love taking the under. The bats haven't come around yet. These pitchers are fresh. Some of the weather is cold in some of these different markets across Major League Baseball. When you get into the summer months, you know, all of a sudden, those guys in these lineups, especially ones as strong as these two, they really start mm-hmm. to feel themselves. The pitchers start to wear down a little bit, and the weather can help carry that baseball. So I think, you know, if you like to bet mm-hmm. unders like I do, I think you have to be a little bit cautious around this time of year.
All right, I got one more for you. I'm looking at Garrett Crochet tonight going up against Seattle, or I should say this afternoon. Over 18.5 outs recorded, getting that at plus money, plus 115. Just asking him to work into the seventh inning. He's done that in five of his last seven starts. Was also looking at the over 8.5 Ks for Crochet, but getting a lot worse odds on that. So we will go with the over 18.5 outs recorded. Mariners, by the way, top five in Major League Baseball in strikeout rate. We got some best bets coming your way to close out the show. They're brought to you by GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you have to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. If you do that, you'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription. Takes you all the way through October 31st. That's a $200 value. It's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Brandon, your GBank best bet of the night. Where are you taking us?
I'm doubling down on the Giants and the Guardians over 7.5 at minus 120. You're not going to find a better price than that as we get closer to first pitch. You're going to see some sharp books out there that tick this up to 8. Bad pitching matchup, good ballpark, Giants lineup now loaded with Rafael Devers.
All right, Brandon, this is my last chance to get an NBA bet in for the season. Even if we get a game 7, that's coming on Sunday night. So I got to take advantage. Ben Mathurin over 10.5 points in game 6 tomorrow night. That's minus 110 right now at DraftKings. Playing the Tyrese Haliburton might not be out there. He's probably going to be limited if he is game here. Would also look at Haliburton under 25.5 PRA. And I'm on OKC to cover that 6.5. All right, that's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of Prop Points Make It Rain with Adam Schein coming up next here on VSiN. I'm out the rest of the week. I'm about to hop in an RV and head to Missouri. Brandon, you'll be back at us tomorrow. Looking forward to watching.